hope of the nations, Jesus, comfort of all who mourn. You are the source of
good morning. Good to see everyone here today, a beautiful, warm June Monday morning, which is to be expected, right? And I say thank the Lord for the wind because it keeps the gnats down, which is a blessing. Good to see everyone here today. Welcome to our service. I have some announcements, of course, to go over. One announcement that is not in the bulletin would be for the 4-0s, the ladies. You're going to meet this Wednesday at 1 o'clock in the social hall for just a time of fellowship together. So try and mark that in your mind. Today is Conference Sunday for the 4Cs. You have an insert in your bulletin you can read later. But as you also notice, that means our offering today will go to the ministry and work of the 4Cs. Still, the checks would go to Salem Reformed Church, and we write one check then to the denomination. So thank you for that and for your giving. Next Sunday, I'll be doing the confirmation service over at Tripp at Freedon's Reformed Church. So the elders will be leading the service. We will have Philip Heckenleibel here to give the message. I forget what year Philip graduated from high school in Menno. I don't know if anybody is a classmate there. Brian, what year? 1983. Yeah, Philip's parents were Ray and Priscilla. So we look forward to that next Sunday. Also, in the bulletin, you see, as far as the church custodians, Johnny and Lori are going to be stepping down here the end of June after 12 years of service, and I think we should give them a hand. Amen. There, one of the guys help with seats, maybe, here, people that are looking. So we do have one family that is interested. So if you think you're interested, you need to say something to either Aunt myself or Jennifer Herbold in the next day or two, because we'll be deciding on this on our consistory meeting Wednesday night on that position, which will change over on July 1st. The communion, we will have that later in our service. So you see the tables down front here. How this is going to work is when we come to that point, the congregation will be ushered forward from the front rows to the back. The first trays will be the bread. They're in plastic cups, so you just take a piece of bread, hang onto your cup, come over to the next, the trays with the wine and the grape juice. They're spread out more than usual in the tray. So the innermost ring is grape juice like it always is. The other rings contain the wine. Those are also in plastic cups today, okay? So you'll take that. There's a trash can at the end of each table. Just drop them in there and then go back to your pew. All right, that's how we'll do that today. I'm happy we get to have the Lord's Supper together. This will be the first time since February 2nd, whatever that Sunday was, the first Sunday in February. So it is exciting. It is a very exciting day. Couple other things. Let me see. Adult Sunday school or Bible study, we start that today. We'll meet back in the adult classrooms, continuing on through the Gospel of Luke, where it was left off back in early March. I wanted to say a special thanks to, I should have said this last Sunday, but I missed it, to those, the consistory members and others that helped with, we had to redo the landscape on the east side and the south side of the parsonage. The ground had sort of sunk in, which we know what happens then when it rains. So redid all that, and we had a lot of good workers Friday, Saturday. I want to mention just the kids that were there. Hayden and Lexi McNinch and their cousin Shelby came, and Emmeline and Landon and Brinley Heckenleibel and Lee and Ava Kisley. So thanks to all the young workers, and then we had several adults there. So hopefully that helps with the process. What? Oh, Luke Plooster. Sorry about that. Yes, Luke was there too. Thank you. Yep. The last thing I'll mention, we were scheduled in the Salem Spire. We thought still there was a chance that next Sunday night the ambassadors of grace were going to be here to present their gospel concert. It would be the third or fourth year we've had them. However, most all of their events up here were canceled, so they are not able to come. So maybe in the fall we'll reschedule that. The other announcements, please read as you have time. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we're able to come together in this sanctuary to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to fix our eyes on you, Jesus, and all that you have done for us through the cross. We are forever grateful. As you hung there in our place, you took the punishment that should have been ours. And we say and we sing, how can we say thanks? We say it with our lips. We say it with our lives as we surrender to you and live our lives for you. So, Lord, thank you for your presence here in our midst today, your manifested, mighty, wonderful presence as you move among us and touch our lives and our hearts. Jesus, you are the hope of the nations. You rose from the dead. You are seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and you rule and reign over all of your creation. And so we do praise you, and we thank you for the beauty of this earth that we get to live upon. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, let's stand together and sing that as our opening hymn, For the Beauty of the Earth, number 182 in your hymnal, or the words will be on the screen. Praise, isn't it? You may be seated as we get to come and all lift our voices and sing together. It sounds so beautiful. So some joys and concerns here, things that I have written down. First of all, a congratulations to our pianist today and her husband, as Cindy is with child. So congratulations to Cindy Heckenleibel. We'll be praying for her during these months. Cheryl Dubbs, she had back surgery this last Tuesday, came through that pretty well, is still in the recovery process, but she is home. Also, continued prayers for Jimmy Whale. He did have the biopsy Monday on the tumor, the brain tumor, and it is, let's see, Lori, where are you at? Yeah, so glioblastoma. They have said it is inoperable. But they are going to be doing chemo and radiation, a combo of that, probably starting on the 22nd of June. So I'll just be lifting up Jimmy and Christina and, of course, the family in your prayers. That's what we know for right now. Prayers for Milo Hauk. He does go back to the VA tomorrow for another, what do you call that, the estrogen infusion, I guess. You know, he has prostate cancer. So be praying for Milo and Mary Lee during this time. Also, prayers for Kathy Melhoff's sister, Sherry. Kathy had texted this morning. Her sister, Sherry, she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer towards the end of March. She passed away yesterday. When they found it was stage 4 and had already metastasized to her liver. So be praying for Kathy and Les as well. They live in Sioux Falls now. I don't know if most of you know that. They have a place up there. And Kathy is also Les's caregiver during this time. And last thing I had down was today is our daughter Rachel's birthday. So happy birthday to Rachel. Anything else over here? Mark. Okay, good. Yeah, Mark was sharing about their daughter, Taylor. You know, she does mission work in the Twin Cities with the Navigators, and she had to move here and there for a little bit over the last weekend when things were getting pretty tough up there, but she's back in her apartment or home and safe. So praise the Lord. Yeah. June 2nd, which was this last Tuesday, was Harriet Schaefer's 89th birthday. I'm not sure where you're at, but I saw you come in there. Happy birthday, Harriet. God bless you. Amen. I'll come over here in a second, okay? Anybody else over here? Okay, yes, I think Leah had her hand up first, but I don't know. Today is Ben and Julie Crick's 12th wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary to you guys. We're going to have a birthday party for them both. You made a cake. All right. Good. I'd like a piece of that cake.
And it's also your birthday.
It is. Oh, it is, isn't it? Well, it would be my birthday and Mark Ramos's birthday this Thursday. And I'll tell you, we're 10 years apart, and I'm going to be 58, so how about that? See if I get a ride in that Dodge Challenger this year. Anything else over here? Okay. All right, let's bow our heads then, please. Father, thank you again. It's just a joy as the congregation comes back together. And we thank you for that, Lord. You created us as social beings, and we need each other in our love and in our support and our friendships and as brothers and sisters in Christ. So thank you for this day. We lift up the joys of birthdays and anniversaries being mentioned here, and thank you for your blessings on each of these individuals in their lives. Lord, we also want to pray for, we thank you for Cindy Heckenleibel, as she's with child, and that little one you're knitting together within her womb, as only you can do. For others in our midst who also are with child, we thank you for watching over them through each step of the way, and we rejoice with them, Lord. I thank you for Cheryl Dubbs, as she came through surgery well and is now recovering. We pray for Jimmy Whale, Lord, and Christina, with what lies before. You are the great physician, Jesus. We look to you above all. We thank you always for what medical science can do, for the wisdom that you've given them. But as we always say, and more than that, we look to you, Jesus, Father, because you have the last word. You are the one who numbers our days, and our lives are in your hands. And we know that, and we surrender to you. So thank you for being with them. Watch over, we pray, Milo and Marilee, as Milo goes for another treatment tomorrow in regards to the prostate cancer. We pray for Les and Kathy Melhoff. Be with them as she cares for Les during this time, and also be with Kathy's family at the homegoing of her sister, Sherry. We thank you for your comfort to each one of them. Lord, for our nation, we earnestly lift our nation before you. I know we do every day and probably many times throughout the day, thanking you that you are sovereign, God. You are the Most High, sovereign over all the nations of the world, and you rule and you reign. And we know, as we used to sing that song, you've got the whole world in your hands. And so you do, and we trust you. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing peace to this nation and reconciliation and healing, Lord. And that comes through Jesus, as we sang earlier, you are the hope of the nations. We continue to pray for our healthcare workers, Father, as we're still in the midst of the COVID virus. And thank you for all that they do, Lord, as they have to put all the gear on and face masks and all the more. I'm sure it gets hot in those outfits. Give them grace and mercy and strength as they minister to those in the hospitals and our care centers. And on, Lord, it goes. Thank you for our troops that are always ready to go on a moment's notice, whether here at home, whether it is abroad. We pray your protection upon them and the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every one of them. Thank you for these things and so much more, Lord. Thank you for hearing our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen. And I want to read, we still have the offering box in back there, as I said. Today's offering is for our denomination, the four C's. I want to read from Matthew 22, starting in verse 36. Jesus was asked, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Let's stand and sing the doxology, please. Father, as we give our offerings and our tithes to you today, we thank you that we can give to the work of our denomination, the Conservative Congregational Christian Conference. And we lift them up in prayer. Today, we pray for our conference minister, Ron Hamilton, for our regional pastors, our own region, Reverend Ray DeLaurier. We pray for the board of directors and all that serve in various ways. We're thankful, Lord, for this home that you have brought us to. We lift them up. Thank you for the work that takes place across our nation. Father, I pray for a minister that I serve on the board with, Reverend Kirk Vanderswaa, who serves in the heart of New York City in the midst of the epicenter. And he himself had the virus. Lord, I thank you for bringing him through. He's recovered. He's doing well. We praise you for that and for all that have recovered, for all, Lord, who are still struggling. But thank you for these gifts. Thank you for being our provider in the midst of whatever we face, physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, whatever it might be. You are our source. And thank you for blessing these gifts in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray together the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. The children's time. Hopefully soon you'll be coming up on these steps again. But for today, Anne gets to look at you.
Good morning, boys and girls. So how about if everybody, all the boys and girls, just hold up your hands so I can know where to focus. Just wave at me. All of the children in the church. Good, it's good to see you. Now I want you to grab your Bibles. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. So this will be our last day talking about the armor of God that we've been studying for many weeks. So before we get into our last part of it, we're going to review all of the pieces of armor, okay? So help me out, boys and girls. This is the belt of truth. Truth is in us. Second one. Breastplate of righteousness. We are right because of Jesus. We do our best to act right. These remind us of the shoes of peace, the gospel. This is our shield of faith. We keep up our faith. And our helmet of salvation. Salvation is ours through Jesus. And all of those were part of our armor that protects us protects us from all the things the devil wants to do against us and tempt us with. And our last one that was we were talking about from the previous time was the sword of the Spirit. This is our offensive weapon. This is what we say back to the devil when he comes against our minds. We use the word of God, right? Okay, let's read in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. So after we take up all of our armor, boys and girls, it tells us to stand. So you have your armor on like this soldier, and you stand, okay? You stand. And not only that, verse 18, read it with me. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. So after we have our armor on, when we're ready to go out to battle, we need to pray. We need to pray. How do we pray? Praying is just like talking to your friend, right? Look at whoever's next to you and say, hi, how are you? Come on, everybody, adults. That's just as easy as that is how you talk to God. God is everywhere, all the time. You can also talk to him in your mind, in your heart. What can we do? We can praise God, right? A lot of our songs this morning, they were awesome. They were all about praising God. He is awesome. We can thank him. Many things we can thank God for, right? Our families, our church, our school. What else? Our pets. Anybody else have anything? Peace in the world. What else? Health, government. It can go on and on and on. We can thank him during those times. You boys and girls can thank him. We can ask him for help. For help that you need in your lives, for help in other people's lives, right? Ask for healing, lots of healing. You know what else we can do when we talk to God? We can confess our sins, right? We need to do that. We need to look just like we're going to be doing today before we take communion. We're going to be examining our hearts. And I know you boys and girls aren't, a lot of you aren't at the age to take it yet, but you too can just be quiet for a minute and say, God, I'm sorry for whatever, right? And then after you do these things, we need to remember to listen. God will talk to us. He talks to us inside of us, in our minds, in our hearts. He tells you, don't do that. And he also talks to us through the Word of God. All right? So let's remember these things as we're all in this battle together. Children, adults, every one of us are in this, and we're all encouraged to put our armor on, to keep it on. Okay? You going to do it, boys and girls? Adults, are we going to do it?
Amen.
Amen. Let's hear it again. Are we going to do it, everyone?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this special day. It's just awesome seeing everyone in the church. Thank you for each other. Thank you for these boys and girls. We just ask that as we go out this week, as they go out, that you just help them to be a blessing to all those that they come in contact with. Help them to remember, and us to remember, to put on our armor of God, because we do have an enemy out there. And after all of that, help us to remember, we need to pray, pray, pray. Keep our conversation open to you at all times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Ann. Mm-hmm. And let me pray once more before we look into God's word here this morning together. Father, thank you for the prophet Daniel, who lived on this earth about 2,600 years ago. It's so amazing what he faced, how he lived, how he stood strong for you is just what we face today in very similar ways. And so you speak to us by your word and by your spirit, and you encourage us, Lord, and you challenge us, and we thank you for all of that. Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by your spirit, that your word would go forth freely in this place, anointed by the Spirit of the living God. And we know that it is full of power. So thank you for speaking through my lips this day. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Daniel chapter 5. We've been, I suppose this is about our sixth service on Daniel. There's so much in this book. 2 weeks ago, I would have been in the early verses of Daniel chapter 5. So I'm not going through all that again for time's sake, but just a little bit of a review. When we come to Daniel chapter 5, there is a new king in Babylon, and his name is Belshazzar. Excuse me. He is the grandson of the previous king that we see in the first four chapters of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar. Then we come, Daniel 5, Belshazzar. As we read it, you're going to see several times in there where Nebuchadnezzar is referred to as Belshazzar's father. You just have to understand the times. And as I said 2 weeks ago, in the Old Testament, Hebrew and Chaldean languages that it was written in, there is no word for grandfather. So that's why it's saying father. From history, we know from the records that Nebuchadnezzar was his grandfather. So in our culture, that might seem a little odd because we don't do that. As we lived among the Navajos those 11 years, totally that's how things were much of the time. You know, we are very specific about, is this my cousin? Oh, okay, is this my first cousin or my second cousin? Or my third cousin twice removed, or however all that even goes, right? But in their language, I'm going with the Navajos now, it was just, if it was cousin, a lady, she was my sister. And nothing more was said than that. And as we learned the dynamics of it all, I would often ask, well, okay, is she your sister, biological sister, or is she your cousin? Yeah, she's my sister. Well, do you have the same mom and dad? No, it's my dad's brother's daughter. Oh, well, that's your cousin. No, she's my sister. So, gotcha. So don't let it throw you is why I'm giving you that here. Daniel 5, Belshazzar is now the king. In the first verses, he decides he's going to have this great feast. Your point number one, God will not be mocked. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. He throws this great feast in this massive banquet hall in Babylon. They say that hall was some 60 feet wide, 172 feet long, very large. 1,000 of his, well, he had his wives, yeah, plural, his concubines, his nobles and their wives, and just packed. And this thing is turning into a crazy drunken party. And what he does in the midst of the drunkenness, he goes even against the tradition of his own culture, of all the false idolatry of it, and he sends someone to get the goblets, these treasures that his grandpa Nebuchadnezzar had brought from the temple of God in Jerusalem when he conquered it about 60 years earlier. He took those vessels that were dedicated and sacred to the worship of Almighty God, took them out of the temple in Jerusalem, brought them to Babylon with the prisoners, put them in the temple of one of their false gods, and that's where they had stayed. But on this night, in his drunkenness, he decides and says, somebody go get those goblets, and we are going to drink wine out of them. And as they did, it says they begin to praise the gods of gold and silver and bronze and wood and all of that stuff. That's those first verses. Second point, this is review. The finger of God shows up. They're all in this crazy state. It says, suddenly the fingers, I'm in verse 5 now, so sorry, Caden. Suddenly the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. Let me say this. Do you know what else was written all over the walls of that great banquet hall? All the accomplishments of the Babylonian Empire, the countries and enemies they had conquered, their great feats, images to their false gods, that's what was on the walls of that banquet hall. And all of a sudden, the finger of God shows up and starts writing 4 words on that. And if you'd look on, it says, the king watched the hand as it wrote. His face turned pale, and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. Now, I'm not going to try and imitate that. Verse 7, the king called out for the enchanters, the astrologers, the diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck, and he will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. What God is saying, you know what? The party's over. Judgment is coming. The third point, that's where we'll pick up for today. If we come to verse 10, and you're blessed, the queen remembers Daniel. Look at this. The queen, now this is the queen mother, okay? This is not the wife of Belshazzar, because back in verse 2 of chapter 5, it tells us that his wives were with him in this party. What they say, it probably had turned into a whole drunken orgy, I hate to say. That's how bad this thing was. The queen mother, this is Belshazzar's mom, okay? That's what it's believed. There are some differences in thought, but most are saying that. So, look at verse 10. The queen, see, she wasn't involved in this party. The queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. O king, live forever, she said. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There is a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, okay, that's Nebuchadnezzar, the grandfather, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man Daniel, whom the king called Belteshazzar, was found to have a keen mind. Now listen to this, what she's saying, the queen mother, about Daniel. A keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, to explain riddles, and to solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. Letter A, look at Daniel's godly character here. In the midst of a very ungodly culture, a very ungodly society, Daniel stood firm in the midst of it all, and God honored him in that kingdom. All those things, a keen mind, knowledge, understanding, the ability to interpret dreams, the ability to explain riddles, solve difficult problems. We know in Daniel, if we go back to chapter 1, the king at that time, Nebuchadnezzar, as he examines those exiles from Israel, Judah, he says, I find these guys, Daniel and his friends, 10 times smarter than all of his own supposed wise men. I think of that. What a testimony that Daniel left in that culture for those 70 plus years, 80, 70 years that he was there, standing strong for God. What a legacy that he left. And we get to read about it today, 2,600 years later. I hope it makes us think, it makes me think about what am I going to leave behind? Not in earthly possessions, I'm not talking that, but in the life that I am trying to live with the help of God, the lives that we are trying to live before our families, in our community, what are we leaving behind? I don't know about you, sometimes when I find either scriptures or sayings from ministers that speak to that, I'll write them down. I have about 3 of them in my office on the bookshelf there that I look at often. One is from John MacArthur. He's a minister up in years, but has done an amazing job in his life and ministry. It's where my younger brother Scott actually went to seminary out there. This is one statement I want to read to you that I have written down that he wrote. Finishing strong requires daily application of God's word to our lives. It does. Because I'm telling you what, we all know it, the enemy, the devil, is always there trying to trip us up, trying to knock us down, whatever he can do, and sometimes he does. But we get back up, don't we? Finishing strong requires a daily application of God's word to our lives. Here's one from Psalm 78, talking about David as he led Israel. And David shepherded them with integrity of heart, and with skillful hands he led them. What a beautiful verse about David. One more. This was Solomon when he was becoming king. His prayer said, Lord, give me an understanding mind so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great nation of yours? All three of those I have written. They're pasted on my desk there. So the queen mother, back to this, there in verse 11, she hears the noise. She comes in there. What is going on? And she says to her son, don't be afraid. Don't look so pale. Look, there is a man in your kingdom. And she's speaking in the language she knew, who has the spirit of the holy gods within him. And then she goes on as we have read, and she gives testimony to this man's Daniel's life. Second, letter B, I have heard. When we come back now in the next verses to Belshazzar, what he's saying, I have heard. Two times he's going to say this, because he comes. It's like his mother, the queen mother, is saying to her son Daniel, listen, son, if you got any common sense at all, you're going to get this man Daniel in here. See, it seems to be that Daniel was sort of out of the picture from when Nebuchadnezzar had died and Belshazzar becomes king. There's some years in between there. And Belshazzar was living a very, very ungodly life. His grandpa Nebuchadnezzar did too, but he repented finally and honored God. Belshazzar is just living his wild debauchery. I always think of Edward when I think of debauchery. He said, I like that word. Not that he lived that way. Debauchery means wild, crazy living. He'd say, I like that word. He'd say, debauchery. Anyway, sorry, side point. Verse 13. So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, are you Daniel, one of the exiles my father the king brought from Judah? Now you have got to sort of get the picture here. They have brought in all these goblets and sacred vessels from the temple of God in Jerusalem, drinking out of them, just blaspheming God Most High. And here comes Daniel. Are you one of the exiles that my father the king brought from Judah? I have heard, there's the first time, that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing and tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard, there's the second time, that you are able to give interpretations to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means, you will be clothed in purple, have a gold chain placed around your neck. You will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered the king, you may keep your gifts for yourself. Was he impressed? He was not impressed in the least. And give your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. Four. So we're going to go on in verse 18. These are the lessons, real quick, that are reviewed from the life of Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather. Verse 18. Let me find it over here. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor because of the high position he gave him. All the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded him, feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But listen, when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of an animal. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until what? Until he acknowledged that the Most High God is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and he sets over them anyone he wishes. That was a 7-year period, if you remember, how long when King Nebuchadnezzar, he had lost his mind, totally lost his mind. Now, I would hope and believe, really, that all of us gathered in here today have certainly come to the point where we acknowledge that God is Most High and ruler of the universe, that we have humbled ourselves as we live our lives on this earth and try to live for Him and to follow His word as best as we can and not think, I'm so great and I know it all and I got it all together and I don't need any help. I certainly don't think anyone in here is like that. Only you know what's in your heart truly, and myself too. When we get to the point of communion, as we're walking down the aisle, this is something we need to be thinking about. This ties in, as we're going to see, very close with communion. Number 5, God's rebuke, his rebuke to Belshazzar, verse 22. Now Daniel is talking by the Spirit of God, but you, his son, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, but you, his son, O Belshazzar, you have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. He knew everything God had done with King Nebuchadnezzar. He might not have seen it firsthand, but he heard about it. He said 2 times, remember, I have heard. Yeah, I've heard. God saying, Belshazzar, though you knew all this, instead you have set yourself up against the Lord of heaven. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you, and you and your nobles, your wives, your concubines, you drank from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand. Listen to this. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Can we read that sentence together probably a couple times? Just read it with me. Ready? But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. Once more, please. But you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life and all your ways. We got to realize that's how it is for every one of us. Our lives are in his hands. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription on that wall. God is not mocked. Then or now, and when we come to the table, it is a sacred time. We are remembering all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Remember, through the Apostle Paul, God had to actually write a letter in part of the letter to the church at Corinth because they were abusing the Lord's Supper. He really was getting on them. If you read there in chapters 10 and 11 of 1 Corinthians, what is going on there? I'm hearing these reports. Some of you are actually getting drunk when you come together to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Now, obviously, they did it different than we did because this is only one swallow. But still, the matter of our hearts is of most importance. Number 6 here, the handwriting on the wall. Daniel's going to give the interpretation, and it's clear from Scripture. Verse 25, this is the inscription that was written. This is in Aramaic, actually, okay? Mene, mene, tekel, parson. As best as I can say it. Mene, mene, tekel, parson. This is what these words mean. Mene. God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Belshazzar. In other words, time's up. The time is up. You have dishonored God's name. You're just making a mockery of all that God is and who he is and who he stands for. Time's up. What does God tell us in Psalms 90, verse 12? He says, teach us, Lord, to number our days aright, so that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Our days are numbered too. There is a day when our last breath will come, every one of us. God knows it. We don't. I'm glad we don't, really. Could you imagine if you knew? I mean, certainly on one hand, yeah, you'd think, oh, I got to do all these things. But what if you knew the day and you knew actually how it was going to happen? Half the people would pray, worry themselves so sick they couldn't even enjoy the days that were left. So we live as if today were our last, and we make the most of it. Mene, mene, the next word, tekel. You have been weighed on the scales, right? You think of the scales like this with the bar up and coming down. You have been weighed in the scales and found wanting. One thing that God is saying is, Belshazzar, you are not measuring up to God's righteous standard at all. You have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. So let's bring that to our lives today. Can any of us in our own selves measure up to God's standard of righteousness? We cannot. In ourselves, no matter how good we think we might be, it is not good enough. No matter how good we may try to live, it is not good enough. It is only through Jesus Christ and his blood on the cross and us receiving him into our hearts and lives by faith that we are clothed with his righteousness. And we can come before his throne. And we can know that heaven will be our home. Third, Paris. So you say, why? I thought the word before was parson, P-A-R-S-I-N. It was. That's plural. Paris, P-E-R-E-S, is singular. So same word, okay, if you're wondering, what? Same word, okay? Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Now, let me just tell you this. I think this is so amazing. The Babylonian Empire was the world power at that time. I've talked to you about how massive that city was. 60 miles around, nearly 15 miles square. Walls probably as thick as certainly the top of this platform. One commentary I read, I didn't have time to dig deeper into this. It actually said the walls were 300 some feet high. Now, the width I could get, I mean, that would be you take a football field and stand it up, and that's how high those walls would be. Now, so I don't know about that. I mean, anyway, it was big, it was massive, it was fortified. Their thought was nobody can ever conquer us, no matter what. Never, ever. I told you the Euphrates River flowed through the middle of it. The Medes and Persians have been fighting the Babylonians. Okay, Belshazzar, there was his father-in-law. Well, I don't know, not that. But anyway, he was co-reigning with Nabonidus, Belshazzar. Nabonidus was out doing all the fighting against the Medes and the Persians. Belshazzar was ruling the city of Babylon there itself. The Medes and Persians were coming closer, closer, closer. They were defeating them out there on the field. Finally, Nabonidus and all the troops, they retreat into the city of Babylon. They knew that they were losing that battle. History, from history, not scripture, says they had 20 years worth of provisions stored up in that city. Could you imagine? 20 years worth. Their confidence was all in that, in their false gods, their fortified cities. So the armies pretty much retreated in the city, maybe a little bit outside. Darius the Mede had a plan. Farther north, if you like history, okay? Farther north, way up there, so the Euphrates River comes down. Off to the side, there was this large, large swamp area. And Darius the Mede's plan was, if I can build a canal into that swamp and divert the water of the river at the right time, the water will slow down, I can send troops in under the wall on the north through the river and the south. And that's what he did. Took time to build that canal. Well, how didn't they know he was building the canal? They were pushed so far back to the city. You know, they don't have drones and everything we have today to know what's happening up there, however far up. So on this very night, by this point, the troops had retreated into the city. They're having this drunken party, worshiping all of their false gods, thinking they are all so great and wonderful and mighty. And Darius says, now is the time. Change that gate, however they did it. The water starts flowing into that swamp. He has troops now stationed at the top side of the city and the bottom where the river goes in and out. And when that river gets low enough, you tell them to go in. And of course, it took a little longer on the south end. They did. They conquered the city. And that was the end of the Babylonian Empire. That night, here's how it finishes up. Verse 29. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple, a gold chain placed around his neck. He was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. He said, I thought he didn't want it. That's what he said. He probably didn't have a choice in the matter, honestly. That very night, Belshazzar, king of the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. That night, in closing, that mighty nation of Babylon joined the host of many other nations before that were world powers and thought they were invincible, and many other nations since that were world powers and thought they were invincible. Why? Because they were mocking the God of heaven. They thought they were so great. No nation is invincible. They fell that night from position of great power and significance in their world. Isaiah 40 says this, surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He, God, weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. That is why I say and say and say, we have got to pray earnestly for our nation, for revival to sweep this land. It's got to be changed hearts that make the difference. Let's pray. Father, thank you. We do live in a wonderful nation that was truly founded upon you and your word. Lord, forgive us for how far we have drifted over these 200 plus years, but yet there is a strong remnant in this nation, your church. There is a strong remnant of believers in this nation, and we are praying earnestly, and we acknowledge you as God Most High, Lord of heaven and earth. And we ask for you to heal our land as we humble ourselves before you this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. If the elders would go to the back, we'll prepare for the Lord's Supper. If you would take your bulletin, please, there should be bulletins on the end of the pews. There is a prayer of confession there. Sorry about my voice. Preaching too hard. We are told in Scripture that we are to examine ourselves as we come to the Lord's table. And this prayer is a part of that. So let's pray this together, please. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne this morning, we humble ourselves before you. And we acknowledge that you are the one who holds our lives and all of our ways in your hand. We acknowledge that you are the Most High God and that you are sovereign over all the earth. You are God and we are not. Forgive us for not surrendering our lives completely to you. Forgive us for not obeying your word. Fill us afresh with your Spirit today, and give us strength to live a consecrated life. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for our redemption and our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you ought to come down, please. We do have open communion here. If you're visiting with us and you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are invited to partake of the Lord's Supper with us. As the family is ushered, as the congregation is ushered down, leave the family. As far as with your kids, that's up to you. If you want them to walk down with you, you can. If you want them to sit in the pews, that's fine. That's your choice. as long as they're not jumping the pews in your absence. Again, when you come, you'll take the bread. I'll pray over the elements in a moment. You'll take the bread, hang on to your cup. Take the wine. You can take that right there, too. There's a trash can at the end of each table. Dispose of your cups. They're all plastic in there. Come around and back to your pew, okay? We'll be singing in a moment here this hymn, Lord, I'm Coming Home. So you might think, I thought that was a funeral song, Pastor Mike. Well, it is sung at funerals, but really it is for us as we are living our lives. Lord, I'm coming. I've wandered far away from God. We've been listening to a minister at the men's Bible study on Monday nights. I love this phrase. He says this, no matter how many steps you may have taken away from God, it is only always one step back. Isn't that neat? Because he's always right there. No matter how many steps you may have felt you have taken away from him, it is only always one step back. Think about that as we sing this. I'm going to pray here over the elements now. Heavenly Father, thank you for this very precious, sacred time, the Lord's Supper. It comes to us at a great price. The cost, Father, of your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this bread that represents his body that was so badly beaten and bruised, beyond even human recognition, your word says. Thank you for these cups of wine and juice that represent your blood, Lord Jesus, that you shed upon the cross as you hung there in our place. You who knew no sin, you became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. Let these elements be sanctified for this time and this purpose, we pray in Jesus' name. And so the Apostle Paul said, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Amen. So as your Mark will usher you forward, and again, you can take the elements. Okay, you can go ahead, and Cindy, you can start on that. Oh, Maybe, I don't know if Cindy got any elements if someone would take to her at the piano. They'll bring it up to you. And Caden in the projection booth, I don't think he got served. Did everybody else get served? Okay, thank you. God bless you. We're going to stand once more, sing our closing hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be. We're just going to sing the first, fifth, and sixth verses of this, okay? So hopefully we'll get that together. We'll watch the three that Caden puts on the screen. Let's sing this. Receive the benediction. Now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Now we're going to sing, as our pattern has been through this time, God Bless America. And this is our prayer for this wonderful nation that we are privileged to live in. Let's sing it through twice. That you were at work, even though times seem difficult, We know that you are mightily at work in the midst of this nation. And we believe it. Be with our leaders. Be with our police officers, our military, the first responders, and all who serve. Thank you for this nation. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Thank you, Cindy, for the beautiful music.